iHeart Podcast. Here we go again.
And we're rolling.
We know parenting is back.
You thought it wouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah. Everyone thought this podcast was just going to end abruptly after last week, but it didn't.
Peter McNerney here.
Beth Newell here. Reporting.
Reporting live from parenthood. Hey, are you new to the podcast? If you are... that's who we are. We are parents. We're married. We have children. We stopped explaining this a long time ago. But for those of you who maybe
this
didn't
is
pick
the,
it up.
For those of you just joining us, this is the part of the podcast where we ramble into a vague intro of our parenting podcast.
We have a five-year-old named Bryn. He's nuts this week. And Maven is three and she's a goof.
Yeah.
Maven's embracing her goof. This week,
she's
wouldn't you
really,
say?
She's a goof. She's always been a goof.
Yeah, but she's a self-aware goof. So there's a lot of silly dances. There's a lot of farts. There's a lot of look at me.
Well,
is that funny?
It's costume season as well as Scorpio season.
Well, they go hand in hand.
Everyone's really... in a mood.
Did you notice what's on this chair over here?
What? Is it permanent marker? What?
No. Maven has tucked in several of her stuffed animals under her blankie. She's really into taking care of things and putting them to bed.
This is really new for her to like play with dolls in a real, in like an affectionate girly way.
Yeah, for sure.
It seems on schedule, she's going to get a baby cousin, and she's going to be like, I'm the mom.
I mean, yeah, she's, as we've talked about this a million times, but, you know, we didn't particularly give her girly stuff. She found it, and she found pink, and it's her identity.
She seeked it out, but she hasn't really ever been that into the, like, stereotypical, like, mom toys, like baby dolls and kitchen sets. Like she's not like obsessed with like
it's true.
Performing womanhood.
Oh, that's true. She's obsessed with unicorns and pink and princesses. But that's true.
So the baby thing is new. But she's actually more, she has been doing that with animals for a while. Like stuffed animals, she'll be like, I'm the doctor. She gave me a very convincing portrayal of a doctor when she was playing with her Doc McStuffins veterinarian set and with the animals, and she would take like the blood pressure thing and like put it on very carefully, and she was like giving me a checkup, and she was just so calm and casual about it in a way where I was like, this is exactly how a nurse is in the room.
Oh, yeah.
She was just like, and I just have to tap this on the side of your face. And like, but it was like not real doctor checkup stuff she was doing, but it all felt very like
she plays
convincing.
For herself.
Yeah.
And Bryn plays to the room.
Yeah.
Boy, Bryn has, he's at just peak argument. Everything is an argument.
He's been a little bit of a nightmare this week.
I was like, there's a bathroom in your classroom, right? And he's like, no, there's no bathroom in my classroom. I'm like, well, I've been there. I've seen it. And he goes, your teacher said that there was a bathroom in the classroom. He goes, she was kidding. Daddy, there's no bathroom in the classroom. Ugh. School is so boring. He's been cranky. He's been saying school is boring.
I was telling a friend, they were like, someone was talking about how mean their kid is to them, which is like, everyone says that. But like, when kids are like really mean, the things they find to say are like so cutting. And Bryn was, I was laughing about it because I was like, where did you come up with this? But the, like yesterday, I was trying to get him to brush his teeth or something. And he was like, you're a bad mommy. He's like, you're like, he basically was like, you're a bad mother. Like, and it was like, I cannot believe you came up with that. Like,
I mean, it's a pretty simple thing to say.
I know, but it just like feels so cutting.
Like,
I was hanging
out. You don't know if this is my greatest fear.
When I was hanging out with my friend in LA a couple weeks ago, her daughter, who's Maven's age, turned like to her, like in the middle of playing, was just like, mommy, I can't stop. And then she like continued, she like went on and like did something else. We were like, whoa, that was like chilling. Like she just like out of nowhere, it was connected to nothing.
She was just thinking about time and growing. I can't stop, mommy, so I shall continue. Goodbye. So Maven, did I tell you this? A couple nights ago, I don't know, we're getting ready for bed. And Maven comes running in. I'm pulling out some jammies because they're obviously not taking the initiative. And Maven comes running into the room completely naked. And she goes, Daddy, Daddy. And she leans down and just opens up everything down there and goes, what's this bump? And I had to, without laughing, in a straight face, say, that's your clitoris. And she went, what? And laughed at me and shook her head and walked out of the room.
I'm impressed that you dealt with it so calmly.
And I was like, well, I don't want to treat this like it's a funny thing.
You don't want to give any way to the moment where they're like, is it funny if I show off my genitals to the room? Like, you don't want to create any sort of...
I'm not
going to
give
that.
You any reward. I'm going to give you a very clinical. I didn't say it serious. I didn't say it goofy. I just said it. And she could feel that there was something like naughty about it. She had a mischievous look.
She's very into like talking about her butt lately.
Oh my God. Have you seen her butt? Because she's happy to show it to you. And any other part of her.
Okay. So my funniest Maven moment of the weekend was... She had been in the other room playing with the scissors, and she walked into the kitchen and goes, my hair looks a little bit cutted. And, of course, she had cut her bangs. Luckily, she only cut, like, the tiniest piece of her bangs.
For clarity, these are, like, the safety scissors.
Yeah. She had been cutting paper with, like kid scissors. And she's actually very careful with that sort of thing. But I was like, I cannot leave these out now because they're both just, like, fiends. Like, you never know what they're up to.
We can't let them have pens anymore. They did that antique table.
The more I tell them about how permanent markers are not for them, the more they crave permanent markers every second of the day.
Daddy, I need a Sharpie to write my name on this thin piece of paper on top of this vulnerable desk.
We're going to need to get like a lockbox or something for literally everything we own.
Beth, we could put them in a lockbox. I mean, seems more practical.
Yeah. Oh, so then I was like, oh, Maven, kids are not supposed to cut their hair. And I hadn't even seen the damage yet. I was just like, you can't do that. And she burst into tears so passionately. She had been really tired. And I was just like, oh my God. I was like, it's okay. I had to like comfort her.
She's so sensitive.
She felt so guilty. I do think she was just, I think there's a part of her that she was like, my beautiful hair.
What have I done?
Her face was like covered in chocolate, like inexplicably.
Did you give her chocolate?
No, I don't know. She had like there's that chocolate hummus from Trader Joe's around.
Yeah, that makes me nervous.
No,
chocolate
it's
hummus.
Like,
I can't wrap my brain around chickpeas and chocolate.
Chickpeas. It's like they're eating beans. That's good for them.
But chocolate.
Yeah.
I didn't try it.
Beans. But anyway, so she was so upset, and then I calmed her down, and yeah.
And here we are. We went to a big event this weekend. Should we talk about it?
A very big event.
Big deal, you guys. Halloween is this Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. So for those of you who don't live in Westchester County, New York, there is something called the Great Jack-O-Lantern Blaze.
Sometimes called just the Pumpkin Blaze.
Sometimes called the Pumpkin Blaze.
If you're Brandon, you want to correct your daddy when daddy says Jack-O-Lantern Blaze.
But what you need to know is that when it comes to Westchester, this is like the event of the year. Like, this is the place.
Let us set the scene for you. There is nothing more important to Westchesterans.
If you're a mom, a dad, a kid in Westchester,
a living, breathing human being,
you gotta be seen at the Blaze.
The Blaze.
So the Blaze is where they carve, I think it's like over 1,000 pumpkins.
It's gotta be.
Their claim to fame is that these are all hand-carved pumpkins, which means they're not all living pumpkins. Some of them are hand-carved, like plastic.
Foam pumpkins?
Foam something.
I mean, don't get us wrong.
The pumpkins
There's a
are
tremendous
impressive.
Number of very real pumpkins.
Yeah. It's impressive. And they have, you know, they have different gimmicky pumpkins, dinosaur pumpkins.
Okay, I just want to pause right here and admit that so far, how we've described it doesn't sound cool. But just wait.
If you were to behold the spectacle of pumpkins
en masse
lit before you through a child's eyes who's witnessing them in the dark, a child who never stays up at night.
And we're also talking about tremendous lighting design up into the trees.
Tremendous.
It's tremendous.
They have, so this is in Croton-on-Hudson, which is near Sleepy Hollow. So it's like the home.
So it's haunted.
Of the Headless Horseman, basically.
And near where Bryn was born.
And so they have a path of pumpkins that leads deep into the woods where you just look spookily down this creepy path. It's very autumnal.
It is aggressively autumnal.
It's also set on a historical site where I do think a ghost tried to get into my body at one point.
Well, sure, of course.
But it's the historical buildings. It's very spooky.
So anyway, these pumpkins, they build a giant replica of the Brooklyn Bridge out of pumpkins. They make a Statue of Liberty out of pumpkins. They have big, creepy jack-in-the-box made out of pumpkins, and then a giant scary jack-o'-lantern pops out of it and scares our kids. They have every zodiac sign fully created in pumpkins. They have...
So I think we've painted a picture for you of how amazing it is.
And every section has a pumpkin pun-based name. But I gotta say, my greatest achievement of the weekend was they said the Pumpkin Bridge for the Brooklyn Bridge. And I was like, that's the lamest. They couldn't have gone with the Gourd Washington Bridge.
Or the Pumpkin Z Bridge. Is that what you said?
No, hold on. We're going to let everybody applaud for my joke because
they're all falling over in their seats.
Hold for
off
applause.
The road.
Hold for applause for the Gourd Washington Bridge.
Okay.
I was really, really trying hard to think of a good pumpkin pun for a bridge, and when I came up with that one, I was like, we can go home now. I feel good.
We did it.
I just needed to stop the podcast to underline that joke. We went with your sister and her friend, and it was delightful.
It was great.
We went to a restaurant beforehand.
Where our kids were insane and literally trying to like throw their glasses around on the table.
Were you proud of me? So we gave them phones.
Yeah.
Which is like a big thing we don't do. But you know what? That's why we don't give them phones. So that when we have to, it really works.
Yeah. Well, this is really like underlying my theory that most of the time when they're being horrible, they're like starving and tired. Like they're just, because we were on the way to dinner and they were so fine in the car. And then as soon as we sat down, and I had snacks in the car ready to give them, but they didn't want them. But it was like, it was something about the second we sat down, they just snapped into like rage starving monsters. And they were like, let's try to throw our glasses around on the table.
This is what's so, you know, I pick them up most days. And when we pick them up from after school, you know, it's, you know, 5 o'clock. It's the worst hour. They're the most upset. They're tired. They're hungry. And so it is every day we're learning to hate each other.
Well, I think if we had better work-life balance, we could pick them up at like 4:45.
Okay, make $1 trillion and then we'll do it.
And you'll be a house husband?
Yes.
I would love that. We've talked about this before.
I'm halfway there. Just make $1 million.
You want to be like maybe part-time husband, like part-time.
I am part-time husband.
Part-time dad.
No, I don't want to be a full house husband. I have too many things to do, but.
Maybe just for a few months. That's I'd like to a sexy role play.
Ooh, yeah. That I will do. Hey, honey. Sorry, I got to run out and get some new wipes.
There's like a movie version of this where you lose a job and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to be house husband. And I'm like, you know what? Go for it. And it's like smooth sailing for like 5 weeks. And then you just crash and burn. You're like, yeah, I can't.
This is called Mr. Mom. They made this movie in 1986. That's my guess. Never seen it.
Anyway.
Boy. Our pumpkins are ablaze. Can I say something? The best thing I've learned from the pumpkin blaze.
The best thing.
The jack-o'-lantern blaze is don't cut the top of your pumpkin. You know, people always cut the top out and you scoop it out.
From the blaze?
Yeah. Because I just realized none of them have holes on the top. Everyone, all of them there, they cut a hole in the bottom. And so I was like, that's a good idea. We cut the bottom out, scooped it out. And then the little piece that it creates, I dug a little circle into it that's a perfect size for the little tea candles. What is it called? Are they called tea candles?
Tea light.
Tea light? Yeah. And then that fits right in there. Then you light that, and then you just put the jack-o'-lantern on top of it. So you don't have to light it. And then stick your hand down and burn your hand.
Have I talked on the podcast about my neighbor across the street growing up and how obsessed she was with Halloween?
No.
I had a neighbor across the street who was, when I was a kid, she was probably like 50-something, which seemed very old, but she, you know, she wasn't.
Yeah.
And she was obsessed with Halloween, and she was a witch every year, and she would decorate her whole front yard with, like, strobe lights and, like, black lights, and she'd have, like, a witch over a cauldron with, like, steam coming out of it. And,
so
like,
far, she sounds fun.
She's great. And, like, she'd, like, make something new every year and have gravestones and, like, hands coming out. And, like, so I'd go over while she was setting up, and I'd, like, check it out. And I was, like, I'm sure thought I was like very mature, and I'd be like, oh yeah, what are you doing this year? Like I was, you know, like,
oh, hey, Kath.
I'd be like,
yard's looking good this year.
And you know, I love crafts. So I was always just like, oh yeah, yeah, you should probably do it that way. Like I was just like very invested. And I now still feel like Halloween is one of the few holidays where I'm like, I understand really going all out for this holiday.
Oh my gosh. Should we go all out?
It makes me wish I had a house because my friend was buying like a fall wreath and I was like, there's nothing about our apartment that is worth decorating for the public. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know what? The idea of having a house on Halloween made me more excited than any other time you've suggested or put the picture in my head of us.
If I had a house for Halloween, it would be definitely like cobwebs and,
let's,
you know,
buy a house. But first, we have to redo our bathroom. Oh!
Oh, yeah, that is the big news. Should we make a segment out of it?
Yeah, let's do a segment. We'll be right back with renovation news. And now it's time for We Knows
Renos.
We Knows Renos. I was going to say, we knows how expensive it is to fix the leak in your shower when it expands into a full bathroom renovation.
I liked my title better.
Your title has a better chance of being reused than mine.
So we've decided, for various reasons, including the fact that everything in our bathroom is falling apart.
Including the reason that our hand has been forced.
We've decided to renovate our bathroom in our apartment, which only has one bathroom. So
So when we moved in, the shower was the least not disgusting.
No, it looked kind of gross.
The least not disgusting. That's a double negative,
what are you
right?
Saying?
Is the grossest.
When we moved in, our shower had like black grout, like moldy grout, that it appeared to be uncleanable, but has since slowly worn away through 3-5 years of cleaning.
Yes. But the windowsill, the corner of it was rotted away, which is
yeah.
like it was soft.
So the windowsill's rotted away, and then there was a soap dish built into the tile, which at some point got ripped off the wall of
You put your foot on it, shaving your legs? Is that true?
I don't remember. It's possible.
I think that's what you told me. It's not
sure,
your fault.
Blame it on me.
No, it's not your fault. It was not installed securely. So at one point, I pulled the entire windowsill out, and I cut out the infected piece. And I was like, well, here's a temporary solution. And I pumped this thing full of caulk
yeah.
and sealed it all up as best as a YouTube video could teach me. And
yeah.
you know what? I did a pretty good job. But I did a job that lasted maybe 2 months before it started. The paint started chipping and it's gross.
Yeah. So that's been in various stages of decay. And then our toilets started running weird.
No, I fixed that. That is fixed.
That
officially.
Is fixed at least temporarily. We have another weird temporary fix going on.
No, I got the perfect length on that chain finally.
I don't know. That toilet's been messing up.
I stand by my toilet
for
work.
A long time.
But downstairs then, neighbors, it started leaking. We got a call from the super.
But that part of that problem is that if our blinds are not closed in our shower, then water gets through the window somehow.
Yeah, it leaks out to the wall, through the brick wall on the outside of the building.
And I don't even think our bathroom renovation budget includes a new window. That's one of the questions that is yet to be asked.
The window is not the problem. It's the window sill, and I've talked to him specifically about it. We're getting a stone window sill.
I don't think that's why it was leaking, though, because the day that our neighbor complained, the blinds were up.
We'll get into it. I've been in there. The whole thing is full of holes. The whole thing is
okay. Well,
a holy
anyway,
mess.
I hope everyone who's listening is riveted by this. Vivid description of our decaying bathroom.
But it was one of those things, we brought in a guy and he was like, I could patch this hole, this much money, but the whole wall is sort of crappy, so I can't promise I won't be back. And he's like, we could do the shower. And of course, we could do the whole thing. And at the time, I was like, just give me a quote for the hole and maybe give me a quote for the shower. And then later on, I was like, we're not going to do half a bathroom.
No, you can't. Not with the tile covering like the whole bathroom.
Yeah. So we got in a second guy who never emailed us back, which made it easy to decide on with going with the first guy.
I think listeners should write in and tell us how to redo our bathroom. Please give us tips, because I feel sort of like I don't want to spend a ton of money on this, but I also want to like it to not be a crappy thing I have to live with forever.
we did this in our old place, and you designed it, and you did an incredible job.
I know, but in retrospect, like, our contractor was shitty, and the materials could have been better, and, like, there's a lot of things that I would do differently.
I think it was only the contractor.
It was, like, at least 80% the contractor.
Yeah.
But there was also, like towel rods and stuff I bought where I was, like, oh my God, why did I assume that this fancy, expensive restoration hardware stuff would be good? Because it's not.
Restoration hardware is shit.
It's not all shit, but like it's.
That couch that we bought that deteriorated so quickly.
It's not always solid.
And that lamp that we bought fell over and just snapped.
That couch's defense, like, we really gave it a beating.
Are those light fixtures from Restoration Hardware on the wall?
No, those are from Pottery Barn, I think.
Mm. Well, Bryn broke
We
one
have
of those.
Very exquisite, diverse tastes.
We run the gamut from Pottery Barn all the way to Restoration Hardware.
Yeah.
We talked about our Joybird couch. Still great. Still great. If you haven't listened to our Joybird episode, I don't remember if it's good, but we talked about Joybird.
That's where our couch is from.
I love it.
Anyway, if you're listening and you want to give us free stuff, we're always open to it.
Really, this segment is called Do You Knows How to Give Us a Free
Yes, give us free bathroom stuff.
Fixture? Are you the owner of a warehouse full of Subway tiles?
No, but okay, here's the questions that have yet to be answered that I am just dreading having to research. Like, we have a tiny bathroom. The current sink is like not even a pedestal. It's just connected to the wall with a basin. So there's no cabinet or anything there. I think the responsible thing to do is always to add in like a cabinet under the sink so you can throw, like, storage is
That's
good.
The only spot in the bathroom where there is space.
Right. But the research of finding a vanity that's small enough to fit in a space like that is like incredibly annoying. And then when you try to figure out if something's made of solid wood or like cardboard paper, they'll like never give you the details and you're like looking online, you know what I mean? And then you're like, oh, I have to run around to like 10 stores this weekend to see if this thing I'm looking at is like a piece of garbage. Anyway, these are the things that I think about when I anticipate this very fun renovation.
I want to help, but you know what? And I will on the non-design things. I'll give opinions, but you're better at it, and you're more particular. So if you want to send me places, send me places.
I just don't even really know where to start at this point because I'm like, what do I even want this bathroom to look like? You know what I mean? I want like a vision, and I don't want to try to do the same bathroom we did last time.
Well, it was a really good bathroom. I mean, you could sort of do it like that.
It was fine, but like,
you should do that color. Take that wallpaper out of there. Is this entertainment to hear us plan our renovation? Who has renovation nightmare stories? Come on. Can you believe?
I do want to hear. I feel this is what it feels like. The renovation feels like a trap, like for our marriage. Like, it's just, you know, it's going to be stressful.
Yeah, well, we've already thought about it.
Yeah, and we will continue.
I really thought I was out of the weeds. But
with what?
When I like passing the project on to you, I was like, "All right, this went well." And I was a little hasty, but it's fine. Here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are now. Should we just redo the whole place?
What else would you redo in here, though?
Like, all the floors, all the walls, all the things. Knock that wall down, open it up. You know,
we need walls.
More money than we have.
Knocking down walls is overrated. There's nothing, like, we could redo our kitchen, but it wouldn't, like, vastly increase the value. Like, we would do better by just stripping all the wallpaper in our kitchen and then like painting, you know?
Yeah. Well,
but who's going to do that? Us? Never.
No, because we could do wallpaper. I was going to say we can't afford to do anything except maybe barely this bathroom. But anyway, are you a contractor? Do you want to do it for free and you're great and are a designer?
Contractors are location-based and this podcast goes out to
Do you want to move to Westchester to fix our bathroom? If you say yes, there's probably something wrong with you.
Are you an independent small business owner who stands very little to gain by giving us free stuff?
I'll tell you what, you will get a ton of free publicity to a very specific, limited audience.
To a non-targeted demographic to your...
You know what? There's probably a lot of people listening to this that could redo a bathroom or already have or
are thinking
about it. Are
you Restoration Hardware and you want to make amends for the past?
We don't want to hear it because what you did was unforgivable. If you're Joybird and Joybird does bathrooms.
What I want to hear from listeners is like dream scenario. Who should we be trying to get to sponsor this? Like IKEA? Who? Tell us.
Our dream sponsor, IKEA.
Well, you know I like to dream big.
IKEA, if you want to.
I really,
you got great meatballs.
Here's how you can tell I'm getting old is like really more than anything.
You're redoing
in the world,
a bathroom.
All I can think about is I want the materials to be solid and not break in 2 minutes. Do you know what I mean? That's all.
Once I started looking around and you were like, we should get a heavier door for the bathroom. I was like, yeah, that would be good. And then I started looking at all of our doors and I'm like, shit, now I hate all our doors.
Well, I hate our doors, but I've convinced myself to be okay with them because our kids haven't pinched their fingers in heavy doors.
Oh, yeah.
But it's,
well,
as
I'm
they
really
get older.
I'm really invested in our doors now that it took me a year and a half to replace all the doorknobs.
I just really hate that because they're so like not at all soundproof. So you just always feel like you're always in close physical proximity to everyone in the apartment.
And that's why I go as far away from you as possible for your own good.
This next segment is called...
What is it called?
You pointed at me.
What is it called?
You pointed at me to start talking after I started talking. This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we take questions and comments from you guys.
I don't think I did, but that's fine. All right.
Oh, my God.
We got a voicemail, my darling. You ready to listen to it?
Throw it at me.
Here it comes.
Hey, Beth and Peter. This is Elise from Baltimore. I love the podcast. I have a question for you. We have a 3-year-old boy and a 1-year-old girl. I'm looking for recommendations for books where boys do emotional labor and or girls get to be assholes. We have an older boy and a younger girl. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so we've got like a real heteronormative situation here. And for example, the little engine that could, the male trains all get to say, no, I'm too busy or I'm too old. I can't help out the broken down train. But then the female train comes along and is the hero. It's great that she's the hero. But I feel like there are lots of books where the boys get to be jerks and the girl has to be nice. So I thought you guys might be able to give some recommendations on this so we can shake up things in our household. Thanks, guys. Ouch. This podcast got me pregnant. Bye.
Stuck the landing.
Oh, that was a great ending.
Boy, out of nowhere. If you don't know that inside joke, you're new to the cast. Ouch. This got me pregnant. Boy, this is a great question.
This is a good question, and I wish I had a better answer for her. I'm actually scratching my head a little bit. But she makes a really good point, which is that boys get to do fun, gross stuff in books, and girls don't.
You can see it. We've talked about this a little bit, but you can see it in media a bit. You know, it
when you, know you see, you know see a lot a good of book.
What's that?
Sheila Ray the Brave, which is not new, but it's a classic.
Oh yeah, she's a mouse, right?
Yeah, and she's like she's messing with cats and stuff. Like she's like,
yeah, yeah, that like. Well, what I was gonna say is, you see, like the media of our childhood, the things that are there's a lot more. Some movies and stuff where you'd see female characters being like, I don't want to fit into this this role, this like stereotypical female role. I'm going to break out of it. And all these like villains are like, women can't do things. And at the time it was this like, oh, that's a great inspirational message. But where we are now, I see things like that, and I will see Maven watch that. I'm like, don't even give her the idea that that's a normal thing to break away from. Let's just show me the characters that are just living this, that's normal, that there's no, you don't need to break out of this role. We've done that, and now we're just telling a different story. And I'd love to hear from listeners about like what books and movies are your kids watching, reading, where that's the case?
I actually like, I don't know, I like some movies like that where it's like A League of Their Own or whatever, where it's like women coming together. Like, we rarely get that. Like, I actually think, if anything, sometimes what's limiting about that message is it, like, sort of puts it on women as if it was, like, our fault that we didn't, like, shake off the chains that are, like, actively holding us back every step of the way, you know? Like,
right. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just those movies where, let's just see a story that takes place in a reality where we don't have to, if people, women or anyone who's playing outside their typical stereotypical role doesn't even need to be commented on. It's just, let it be true.
Yeah, in some cases. But I also think there should be movies about people being like, hey, we're directly experiencing oppression. Let's talk about it. Like, sure. It should, like.
Sure. But I was thinking about, like, kids, the age that our kids are, I think it's more beneficial to just let them see everyone be treated the same.
Yeah.
Because if you give them the, oh, look, see, this woman's being different, you're really giving them the message that
right.
there's something to fix.
Right.
You know, it's like Black Panther is a great example of what's so incredible about that movie is that obviously the themes and the commentary of that movie are incredible. But a big part that's hugely unique about it is just like this fictional nation that's like the most advanced and run entirely by Africans. That's like a type of story and context that you don't see movies like that about.
Yeah.
And so just to let that be normal is, for a lot of people, exciting and empowering.
Yeah, I mean, I agree representation matters and is very important. But also, even within that movie, there exists structures of oppression.
It's true. But boy, let's think about it. Are there, what things do they watch that are?
Well, she's asking about books.
Yeah, that too.
I'm really, like, we have that book, Hilda Must Be Dancing, but I don't necessarily think dancing is, like, a boy activity. I'm trying to think of other, like, it's hard to, that's the problem. Part of the problem is it's hard to even think of, like, female-centered media, like, in general sometimes. Like, if you narrow it down beyond that, like, what I find sometimes... Just even in terms of, like, when I know someone who's, like, looking to make something in entertainment and they're like, oh, we're doing this thing. And then for whatever reason, it's like, it's also supposed to be a woman in a role, or we're looking for someone who's Cuban, or, like, they have some specific need. It's like suddenly everyone is scratching their head because they're like, I don't know. I haven't seen them because they're also looking for someone who's been gainfully employed doing that thing and has experience.
Yeah.
And then people are like, well, I can't think of a single person who anyone's let do that who goes by that description, you know? Like,
yeah. There's also an interesting thing that happens mostly in TV is what I'm thinking of, where there's a really good, healthy push to diversify entertainment. But you can see the ones where it's thoughtfully done and the ones where it's that, like, oh, let's make a perfect blend of races and we don't actually give these characters personalities. Their personality is that they're Asian, you know? And
right,
you see in a lot of
token black guy.
There's a lot of... most of them, I think, are like black characters who are like the doctor, and they go like, "Oh, that's good. Let's give this character status," but they don't make character choices. They just go, "Oh, we gave him a high status profession, so there we go. We diversified," and that's like not as helpful as making this a real interesting textured character with personal character flaws. That has like a normal relationship with other people. So they're not defined by these traits.
Well, and then that's like the whole other side of the representation coin is like you need to actually diversify the creator so that you have people making things in the first place that makes sense to be casting and hiring all these other people. Yeah. Anyway, that was a long tangent. But seriously, can you try to answer her question? Can you think of books that have women who act wild? Like, all the examples I can think of is like, okay, there's like the Shrek book, but the character I'm thinking of, his like monster bride princess, is like only there in the last like two pages of the book.
You know what we're reading right now is The Twits, where they're both disgusting and deplorable. I don't know what the message is on that one.
The Twits.
You know Roald Dahl? Do you remember The Twits? They're just this couple that despise each other, and they just pull pranks on each other. and he adds like a thin little sliver of wood to the bottom of her cane every day, so she starts to feel like she's shrinking. And then she puts worms in his spaghetti, and then he eventually says, "You're shrinking. We need to stretch you." So he ties a million balloons to her, and then just like sends her off into space.
This reminds me that Stregonona is a pretty good witchy character.
Oh, yes.
This is something
Stregonona.
I was trying to think of this the other day. It's like, because Maven is being a princess for Halloween, and I was like, I feel like it's hard to get Maven excited about witches because I can't think of any good age-appropriate media for a three-year-old that is a positive representation of a witch. Like, There's movies for older kids, like Hocus Pocus. Like
The Witches.
But like that would be too much for her to process.
It was too much for me whenever I saw that.
I just want her to understand how cool witches are.
I mean, but
there's got to be a cartoon. They? Yeah, they are.
Okay, just checking. Is there a good witch cartoon? All right, this segment is really just... listeners, answer this question. I want to know, what is a good book that checks these boxes?
Well, she also asked for boys who performing emotional labor, which I feel like there definitely probably is some like 80s book about a boy like baking a cake with his mom or something. You know, like I'm sure there's something.
But there's love that book where that is true and it's not even the point of the book. You know what I mean? That's the best case scenario for me. Let the story be something else and just let that be true, and the kids absorb that more. Because you see the certain books that are like, this is the book to make your kids aware about social whatever. And they're rarely good books. Because they're heavy-handed and they forget to be interesting and have characters.
Well, because they don't know how to use metaphor.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah. Well, I think people should write in and tell us. I'm sure there's like thousands of books we forgot to mention. We'd be happy to read those next time.
So yeah, let us know. That is not an answer. All right, here's another listener note. This is actually a Facebook comment. This comes to us from Bex, who says, "Hey, Peter." This is in response, first of all, to something we got a remarkable number of emails about, which was our not fight about how much peanut butter is acceptable to leave in the jar before you throw it away. So I threw away a jar of peanut butter that had an annoying amount of peanut butter to try to get out. You'd have to get a spatula to get into it. I didn't think it was worth it.
Anyway, we talked about it on the podcast.
Actually, Beth brought it up as her being proud that she didn't bring it up.
Okay.
Which I get do appreciate
the
it.
Listener.
But people comment. Wrote in to primarily agree with you.
Because they saw the photo evidence, thank God I had, as I was being once again gaslit on this podcast.
I'm just saying, if you're crazy enough to write in to tell me that there's enough peanut butter.
Crazy enough.
Then it's like, you're also the person that would waste time to...
Oh my God.
I'm sorry that I just insulted the people that emailed in. You're right to feel the way
Thank
you feel.
Thank you for validating my feelings.
But I'm just, all everyone. I'm seeing is the hundreds of people who didn't need to write in because they are the same people that would throw it away. Oh, now, yeah. Now it's
you
a fight.
Mean the cowards like you, your brethren who couldn't even write in to support you on this.
No, the people that
on
have
this meek battle.
The people that have better things to do with their time than save 5 cents in peanut butter.
Okay.
Hi, Peter. Here's a tip for you. Heat up some milk. Pour it into the jar of empty, quote unquote, empty peanut butter. Throw in some cocoa and your choice of sweetener. Pop the lid on and shake. Do this over the sink or it'll explode. Trust me on this one. And bam, not only have you made yourself a delicious peanut butter hot chocolate, but you've used up all the peanut butter in the jar. This also works for Nutella. And
I love
I'm
this.
Not going to read the last part where she agreed with you.
I love this tip.
I love it. As much or more, I love it, and I want to do it.
It's making me so hungry right now.
I'm so mad that we have two very full jars of peanut butter, even more than I could tolerate throwing away. So we're going to have to wait. I'm definitely making Bryn peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the rest of the week.
Our children will suffer. So that we don't have to scoop peanut butter into a mug to make this happen.
Oh boy, that is another option. We could just make that.
Okay. Well, thank you for that tip. It is right up our alley, clearly.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and just say that's the best tip I've ever received in my entire life. And that's only mildly hyperbolic.
I would say it's up there next to her second tip, which is, you could eat more peanut butter out of the jar.
You think that's second to
oh use my the God, I don't care. I don't actually care.
Here's one more quick one. Ready? I love this. You know, when you listen to a podcast, Beth, and you know, the idiots talking are like, yeah, you know, like that thing. What's it called? And you're at home listening and you're like, it's called this, you idiots. Oh, it's one of those things. Ugh. I got to write in. Somebody had one of those moments and it was about our conversation about books where kids are lost in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. What was the book that...
The subject line of this email is, My Side of the Mountain!
Yes, My Side of the Mountain. That's correct.
Listening to the jet-lagged pod, Beth was talking about the Kids Who Run Away books and then referred to the boy on the side of the mountain who trains a falcon.
To be fair, I was very jet-lagged.
She's yelling at me. No, Peter, not Call of the Wild, My Side of the Mountain. I have a shredded copy from my childhood that my mom found in a box of my old things. When she sent it to me, I spent the afternoon rereading it and getting that nostalgic feeling of being a kid and fantasizing what it'd be like to have them all behind, to leave them all behind and make it on my own. Oh, man, what a great book.
It is the ultimate kid fantasy that you could just leave your whole family, survive on your own, train a peregrine falcon to catch food for you.
On your side of the mountain.
On your own side of the mountain. That's what Bryn thinks when he talks to us. He's like, you idiots, I'm going to go live on the mountain.
Just give me a hatchet. And I'll crash in a plane.
It really warmed my heart to hear the title of the book, and I know exactly what she's feeling of like the there's something so satisfying about like training a peregrine falcon or like having your own flipper.
What?
Like having your own pet, that wild animal that
like
you trained.
Like a dolphin? Flipper?
Yeah, like the TV show Flipper that we grew up with.
Well, our parents grew up with it, and then we watched Nick at Night. But yes, we did grow up with Flipper.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I can't let a thought go by. You know. I never read My Side of the Mountain, but I do know
you
that.
You should read it now. You should read it to Bryn.
Maybe I will. We got to finish the twits.
Maybe it would make him more into his nature class and he would stop sneaking over to cooking.
He hates his nature class. He had his nature class today and he goes, do I have to go to any more? I'm like, yeah, there's like six more. He's like, oh.
I can't believe he hates it so much for someone who loves animals with every fiber of his being and loves animal facts.
Because he's not seeing animals. He's just walking in the woods.
I know, but whoever's running that class, I have to say, and I have no idea who you are, I don't think you're doing a good job.
I don't know who you are, and I don't know how hard you're trying, but drop dead. Whoever's running that cooking class that Bryn crashed, bravo.
I have no idea what he's doing in nature class. I'm sure it's fine.
He won't tell me.
Who knows what's happening?
Not us. We're strangers in our son's life.
He probably loves it when he's there. He's probably like, you're the coolest nature leader.
Hey, nature leader. You're the coolest. I got to get back to school so I can turn, 5 o'clock and I can just hate everything again.
Well, I'm sure when he's at nature class, he's like, ugh, I don't want to go home to my parents.
I love it. You ever pick him up and he's like, Daddy, I didn't want you to be here now.
Yeah. Do you remember last year when he told the pre-K teacher, he was like, yeah, I go to 2 schools because he went to daycare and pre-K and he was like, yeah, long day.
Oh boy, I had a long day. You know what? I had a long day.
I had a long day.
Should we call it?
Let's call it.
This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you would like to email us to tell us what book title we got wrong or to suggest a book where boys do emotional labor or girls get to be nasty, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Did we already do this? You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at We Knows Pod.
Leave us a review and a rating.
Subscribe.
And if you want to say, ouch, this got me pregnant, or what should be the new thing, Beth?
I flippin' love this podcast.
I flippin' love this. I flippin' love you guys. See you next week. Bye.